Hi, I'm Maria Theoharis or VeloSos on social media. Welcome back to Sober 50 Podcast on So Organized Health. Grab a cuppa and relax with us.
It's about giving yourself permission to play with the creativity. We can learn how to sew and we can learn how to put things together, but you can't necessarily learn to live authentically. That you have to develop that yourself.
That's Matthew of He's So Matthew on both Instagram and TikTok. You might remember him as one of the contestants on Series 9 of The Great British Sewing Bee, and I'm really thrilled that he said yes to be on the podcast today. Thank you to the Patreon supporters of So Organized Style Podcast. Your monthly contribution keeps me producing these episodes for free. Sober 50 intersects with all communities. We're a community that is sober ageism. We're positively leading, being visible in the sewing world. You had a busy time at the Stitch Festival. Your first look that we saw where you're wearing the boots, can you describe that for me?
Yeah, so it's my signature style suit where there's a giant circle skirt and a ridiculously long and impractical train, which I almost stacked it with, but that's all good. And then a half blazer where the other half is a harness and a big pointed shoulder. I'd describe my style as like dramatic yet wearable, but the wearable is very questionable.
At least with the very long trowel, you could, you know, hook that onto your arms and get on the train or go upstairs.
Yeah, I usually like drape it over my arm and just walk around with it on there.
And you had the boots that were looking really good, very sharp.
Yes, my knee-high PVC boots that really I like, I've got to squeeze into. I've had to hand sew the seam together because it's beginning to come apart, but I don't want to throw them away because I am desperately in love with them because they do give me extra height.
They do, and they make your legs look good.
Thank you.
And then when you were on the catwalk for that particular look, who was that for?
That one was organised by the Stitch Festival, and it was a catwalk with sewing bees from different series. There was, I think, four or five of us from my series, and then there were people from, like, series one all the way up to nine.
Well, congratulations for being on the series. That's just an amazing feat.
Thank you. It was the most stressful thing I've ever done in my entire life, but I wouldn't change a single second of it.
On the Great British Sewing Bee, could you show what your style was like too?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I am possibly the most proud of, because I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea and I'm okay with that, but I am my own champagne. And I feel like that's how we should all feel. Like, we don't need to get on with everybody and we don't need to fit in, as long as we know who we are. At 9 o'clock on BBC One, prime time, seeing someone like me, I never got to see that. And I was authentically me the entire time, and I'm so glad I got to be. And I wasn't edited in any kind of comedic sort of way. I was naturally just whatever I am.
And you felt, while it was very stressful, it was a great experience for you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, before Sewing Bee, I didn't have any friends that sew. If I got stuck, I'd have to go to YouTube. But now I can just pick up my phone and text them or give them a ring and be like, so how do I do this bit? And so I've now got not just the people from my series, but all the other series.
Yeah.
It's so lovely to have that kind of shared experience, because unless you've been through it, you have no idea what it's like.
It's great that A, you were chosen, B, you were on the series, and they've got a huge network of people to ask if you've got issues or if they want to collaborate with you too.
Absolutely. And it's opened so many different doors for me. I've done quite a few catwalks at sewing shows since the shows aired. And then that's led to photo shoots and people from other TV programs wearing my looks. A couple of weeks ago, I had LaPhil from Drag Race UK Series 4 wear a garment of mine down a catwalk for me. It's been a whirlwind of a year.
That sounds like it. Let's go back to the Stitch Festival again. What was your second look?
So my second look was, I call it my mushroom 1.5 piece. It's utility inspired. It's got high waist trousers that go all the way down to the floor, and they're wide leg, and a cropped shirt. And into both the trousers and the shirt, I added harness details so they could link together. So they could be worn separately as trousers and a shirt, but then you could also link them together to be like a one piece. So that's where the 1.5 piece comes in.
Oh, okay. So it's almost like a jumpsuit?
Yeah, but with like the midriff missing.
Okay, got it.
It means that you don't have to worry about when you're sitting down, things becoming too tight, because it's just a pair of trousers.
Matthew, when did you first start sewing?
I first started to sew when I was really young. I started with cross stitch, My first one was a red tractor pulling a green trailer full of mud. And I remember finishing it, sat at my nan and granddad's kitchen table. I just remember that's where I finished it. And then my nan was a seamstress and or tailoress. And so she taught me the few basics when I was quite young. I stopped sewing. When I went to uni, I stopped then. And then I went to work on cruise ships and life took over. And I didn't pick up my sewing machine again until the first lockdown. So I had over a decade where I hadn't sewn
Right.
and kind of just lost all connection to it. And then picked up the end of the first lockdown. And I think it's really interesting. If you look at photos of me before lockdown and you look at photos of me now, you can see that I am completely more comfortable with who I am since being able to sew my own clothes.
And did you think that that would happen at all?
I'm not sure really, because I just, it's about giving yourself permission to play with the creativity. We can learn how to sew and we can learn how to put things together, but you can't necessarily learn to live authentically. That you have to develop that yourself, not learn it from somebody else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And I think playing with the things that other people have taught me allow me to play with my creativity and play with my flair and just not take things too seriously. And I always say to people when they start sewing to just play. Someone can teach you one way of sewing. That doesn't mean that that is the one and only way of sewing. There's so much more. Because I work in a school, I always, like, I tutor English and maths as well. And I always say to the kids that I'm going to teach you this way to do this maths problem. But if you find a way that is different and works for you, use it. There's more than one way to do things in life, and that's okay.
That's right. Traditionally, if you went to high school during my era, your teacher taught you how to sew a certain way, and that was it. And that's what you were scored on. Whereas now we've got so many other avenues, even just to sew a plain seam.
Exactly. And you can adapt them to fit whatever you want, whatever you're making, or to fit your style. You can adapt anything, you can play with anything. We all learn through play.
So, what are you most comfortable creating for yourself?
Comfortability for me is probably dramatic. I always feel like clothes should say something about the person wearing them. Like, it doesn't matter if you're wearing a t-shirt and joggers, you're still putting on a performance of who you are that day. So for me, like, I tend to wear, and my mum always laughs because she always tells me that I need to put a vest on or put clothes on. But I like to make clothes where there's skin. We've all got it, and it's taken a while to be comfortable with my body. And why not play with little peekaboos in your fashion? So yeah, my comfortability is kind of dramatic, I think.
Somewhat. I mean, I've seen the army shirt that you wore, and there was a teacher, a kindergarten teacher that
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
could you tell us about that story?
Well, that shirt was actually my dad's RAF uniform
Yeah.
because he was in the RAF while I was growing up. It's all been in the loft for decades. So I went up one day and was like, "Dad, it's just sitting there. Can I please bring it to life and give it something else?" And so I found a pattern and then I modified it so it had a cutout in the chest.
Yeah.
It had like a ruffled collar and ruffles on the cuffs. And there's actually a harness to go with it as well, which isn't in that picture.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like repurposing my dad's RAF uniform. And he actually quite likes that shirt, even though he would never wear it. That photo with her name's Mrs. Beer. I was giving a talk at a women's group in my local village about the sewing bee and my sewing journey. And I was midway through a sentence and she just walked in the back and I just stopped talking because I couldn't believe my eyes. She was such a lovely person when I was such a small child. She was so lovely, and I will always remember her. So to see her walk in, it just blew my mind, and she was so lovely.
You could tell from the photo how much joy the both of you had just being in the same room together.
She was great. She was like, "I always knew you'd make something, you would do something," and that just really, really got me.
At such a young age, too.
Yeah, because I think she did things with primary school as well. So she saw me up until the age of like 10.
Based on the looks that we've seen from you on the runway and from what we've seen online, is structure an important part of your design process?
I love structure because I love playing with the exaggeration of your body and the things that you want to say. Like, I feel like shoulders are a really powerful thing. So I really enjoy giving those structure. I imagine 80s, but devilish. I just love manipulating shapes and fabrics to kind of do what they shouldn't do.
So almost like breaking the rules.
Absolutely. I think rules are made to be broken, especially in fashion, creativity.
And so when you're creating with plaids or with tartans, do you take care of making sure that they match at the seams? Because I know that's what a lot of people worry about.
No, I do not care about pattern matching. If you go to a shop anywhere, they don't always match. And Esme on the show, she didn't care about pattern matching. So for me, if my icon doesn't care about it, why should I?
Okay, good.
No one should be getting close enough to see my seams.
Everyone loves Esme.
Oh, I love her.
She can do no wrong.
Absolutely. Like filming episode one, I was at the back and they came to talk to me. And I was so excited to meet Esme. She's tiny, like she's super tiny. And we were talking, and then they walked away, and the camera was still rolling. And my mouth was so dry because I was so nervous to talk to her. My lip got stuck to my teeth. Luckily, they didn't keep that in the show. But she was genuinely so lovely and so supportive. And she's recently started following me on Instagram, and that I like phoned my mum in tears and was like, "Esme's following me on Instagram."
Oh,
It really. That was the top one for me.
that's wonderful.
And she's so lovely.
I'm always impressed when I meet people who sew and sew for themselves and sew to show who they are. And that's why I'm really pleased that you're on the podcast today.
I'm excited. I've been looking forward to it.
I will show you what my sewing room looks like.
I'm with you. Mine is the same.
So I don't have to ask the question, what state is your sewing room in?
Mess. An absolute mess. So I don't actually have a sewing room. When COVID happened, I came back off the ships and moved back in with my family. My sewing machine is currently on a collapsible table at the end of my bed. My fabric is in the kitchen. My overlocker is in the kitchen. I have pattern pieces everywhere in the house. It's yeah. So I don't have a sewing room. I just have everything everywhere. So I really need to sort that out.
And it's really good that you know where everything is.
It's questionable if I know where it is. My sister likes to move things, I think, and trick me.
Oh, okay. It's not because she needs to tidy things up.
Oh, absolutely not.
Do you follow Server 50 on Instagram?
That's a good question. Do you know what? I don't know who I follow.
There's a group on Instagram that are all about the visibility of older sewers, and that's what that account is called.
Do you know what I do now? Oh, I like that denim piece. Ah. There's a denim with like a peplum.
Yeah.
That is stunning.
That's Lynn. She's in LA and that's a no knee pattern. It's just been launched.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh, there's some great looks. Oh, funky. It's from Kim
Yeah.
with her different plaids.
That is subtraction sewing, I think, if they call it.
Okay, I'm glad I follow now.
I'm glad I introduced you to them again.
Oh, me too.
That's good. Did you also attend the Minerva birthday party too?
I did, yes. In so that tartan suit that I made for the catwalk, I wore originally made the first one for that party in black velvet.
In velvet.
Yeah, black velvet with I made a faux leather tie to go with the leather harness.
So, what's your favorite fabric to play with?
I at the minute love playing with denim. I love recycling denim because it is such a cost to the environment. I love repurposing it and giving it a whole new life and making it look completely different how it originated.
Our listeners should follow you on Instagram to see what it is that you're doing with denim, with repurposing denim.
Absolutely. So April's edition of Simply Sewing magazine, the April edition has a very interesting self-draft pattern for people to follow using some jeans. So you should keep an eye out for that.
All right, I'll ask the obvious question. Where can people find you online?
So you can find me at He's So Matthew on Instagram and TikTok because I think I'm younger than I am.
How long do your videos go for?
It depends on the content. I try to keep them quite short because I know that when I'm on there and I'm just scrolling, I just scroll. So I want things to be I want them to be cut into the point. And I also really hate when people like part one and then leave it halfway through a step for you to go back to watch part two. That does my head in. So I kind of keep it all as it should be.
Because I noticed that you've got to get people in that at that 3 second mark, otherwise you've just lost it.
Because it's so easy to just keep swiping that you need to straight away grab them. But I'm learning as I go with TikTok, and there's an incredible creator called Narissa Pratt, who creates a lot of things on TikTok, and she gives really good talks on how to use it. And she says to, like, all the footage in one video, you could style your video about being, today I went to Liberty, but that footage doesn't need to be from that one trip. It can be a collection of different things that you've collected over your time to kind of get your point across of what happened in that space. Yeah, she's interesting. Give her a follow. She's brilliant. But I think it's got such a wide demographic for different reasons. We're all really bad at just sitting there and just scrolling through and ending up still on there 4 hours later because you don't have to think about it. It takes you away from whatever you've done in your day because we all live stressful lives that we need that kind of release through watching stupid things on TikTok.
Yeah, just to make us chuckle or take us away from the stress of daily life, as you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Matthew, you've been talking about, how you were on cruise ships and then with COVID you weren't. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I started working for P&O Australia, and my very first home port was Sydney. And I loved every single minute that I was in Australia. I think I have got to say, though, my heart lies in Brisbane or Melbourne because they're so arty and just so creative. But the people that I met were just so lovely. Like, I still keep in contact with a few people, and they're just so supportive. And I got a load of messages on Facebook when Sewing Bee was shown over in Australia, like, here's a picture of you on the TV in Australia. And I was like, that is it, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
But the things that I did and the things that I saw and went to countries that I'd never heard of, like over here, we didn't, I'd never heard of Vanuatu or New Caledonia. And now I've heard of them and been to them thanks to working on cruise ships.
Can I ask what work you did on cruise ships?
I was a deputy cruise director.
Oh, wow.
And I was known for my bingos. I had a thing, and it was, if everybody understands, say, yes, Matthew, you. And I'd sing it. And all the way through the cruise, people seeing me walking down the corridor, even actually, I remember walking through Brisbane one time and somebody shouted at me down the street. That was, it was,
At least you know where you met them from.
yeah, I'm like, okay, you've cruised with me, great. My funniest, like, one of my bingo calls was 73, 7 and 3, come with me, get in the van. And I used to just have kids come up to me and say, get in the van. And the parents would be like, I'm so sorry.
How cute is that? So, based on your experiences so far, where would you start to learn how to sew if you didn't know right now?
I think we're really lucky where we are in terms of technology and things like that and social media. TikTok's a great place to learn because, again, it will handle one skill very quickly and then you can play. YouTube is amazing. Like, if you want to go further into depth, YouTube have longer videos on how to do different things. But my one piece of advice would be to just play because you learn more by making the mistake and using them as stepping stones in your progress. Because we don't get anywhere if we don't make the mistakes and come around from it. And I always say to people, like, nobody knows if you've butchered a seam unless you go up to them and go, have you seen this? It's awful. No one's going to know unless you point it out. So play, make the mistakes, evolve with the mistakes that you make.
Yep. And that's how you can increase your skills and your confidence in doing more adventurous projects too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, nothing's ever perfect. We're not machines.
Matthew, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. You've been really busy on Series 9 of the Great British Sewing Bee, and you've let us into a lot of who you are as a person and how you operate in your sewing space.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
And you.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Sew the 50 podcast on Sew Organized Style was produced by me, Maria Theoharis, with permission of Matthew, sound by bensound.com. Many thanks to the ongoing support of the podcast's Patreon contributors. Their ongoing support enables me to develop these podcasts for free. Make sure you direct message Sandy and the editors of Sew the 50 on Instagram to contribute to the ongoing posts and challenges the team provides to the community every day. You can subscribe to Sew Organized Style podcast, but with an S not a Z on all good podcast apps. Make sure you go back and listen to our free Sew 50 podcast archive on the Sew Organized Style podcast. We look forward to joining you in your sewing room next time. Stay safe, everyone.